Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I'm not sure I follow you, Doctor. You say Mr. O'Brien is aphasic, but all of his tests have come up negative.
Isn't aphasia typically associated with some kind of cranial trauma?
Yes, it can occur as a result of a stroke or a blow to the head. But there's no evidence of that here.
Did you check the medical library for any precedents?
And rechecked? Nothing so far.
You have any theories?
Not yet.
Find one. Major Kira. Get a hold of the Chief's personal duty log. I'd want to know where he's been and what he's done for the past 52 hours.
I've already examined it, Commander. He's been all over this station.
Retrace his steps and see what you come up with. Dax, you will temporarily assume Mr. O'Brien's duties.
Yes,
Is there a problem, Lieutenant? Lieutenant.
I'm sorry, Benjamin. I'm unable to... Foolish, assembled, regal, controlled weather.
Hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Well, Quark, I see even you couldn't weasel your way clear of this one.
Well, Quark.
Well, Quark.
Well, Quark.
Well, Quark.
I'm Captain Sisko.
I am Sisko.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm Command... You're not Captain Sisko.
Oh, that's right. My name is Commander Sisko.
I am Commander Sisko.
He's not a captain yet.
I am Commander Sisko.
Hark.
Quark.
Quark. I'm Commander Benjamin Sisko.
I am Commander Sisko, and I'm here to tell you, Quark, that you must get in line. You must get in line, Quark. You must do it now. Or leave the station! I am Commander Sisko!
Okay.
All right.
Sisko.
Hello.
No booby trap.
Booby. We should have a new booby or no booby. Did boobie somebody say booby in this episode?
He said booby.
Well, you gotta play the booby sound now.
Oh.
Well, he doesn't have to be
booby. No booby trap.
Yeah, booby. Can you, you don't have to do it now, but it would be nice just to have him saying booby.
Oh, just booby?
Yeah.
No booby trap.
I mean, whatever the current phase of feminism, we're all about that. Like, we're in that, but we're also, like, still groovy with the booby, if you know what I'm saying, right?
You're not making any sense.
I think it makes
booby trap has to do with, like, a bird or something.
Well, sure.
Not like boobies.
Yes, of course.
They're not trapping boobies.
No, they're not trapping boobies, but I was thinking in terms of, you know... Like boobies.
Of course.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Of course. You
yes, I would. Indeed, I would, Quark. Quark.
Relax, Doctor.
I am your commander, Quark.
Look, save your energy.
Good call, Dan. Good call. So,
the booby trap.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start.
What?
We're going to start.
Wait, what is this? What's happening? Why are we announcing what we're doing?
No, I'm saying we're starting the
isn't
episode.
Isn't that what we always do?
Didn't we just already do that?
Yes, I know.
We have to do it again.
I'm continuing because we did all this booby talk. So
all this booby talk.
It's hello, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It is episode 334 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Right, right,
okay. And
I've heard that.
We're moving right along here.
Okay,
Moving right along home. Yes, Jesse, you got
Babel. We got the name out there.
Wait! You didn't announce the name. Without the setup.
Yeah, but he did. I didn't.
We always lag behind, and you're always like, we haven't even said the name yet.
Well, no,
like,
but like,
so
you're
just getting it out there.
But you gotta build up to it. You gotta be like, we're this week we are discussing.
Come on.
So Jesse, here's the thing. Dan, he wants to play a sound clip. He's prepared a sound clip to play. So you said it so quickly.
We've only done this 330 how many times?
I don't know, a lot of times. Not that many times, but a fair amount.
Only
of times.
For a few years now have we been doing this.
Yeah. You always say that.
Well, it's okay, Dan, because we can still accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of time for your clips.
Plenty.
Yeah, but
plenty of time for your.
Where's all this hostility coming from?
Your little clips.
Where's all this hostility coming from?
No hostility. I'm just goofing, man.
No, I think you feel attacked, and so you're counterattacking is I think what's happening here.
Is this a reference to the new Star Trek Magic the Gathering extension set?
Whoa, that sounds tight.
I don't know, man. I have no interest in that. No, they're doing
command
it.
Unclear.
Are they doing that?
Because
they did like
they did Lord of the Rings
and TMNT.
Look, I said before, I'm not a fan of this.
They did a bunch of Spider-Man.
Get it with the IP and this, that, and the other thing. Magic the Gathering. Do the fantasy, goofy, fun stuff. That's the genericness of the fantasy of Magic the Gathering. And I know there's a storyline for each whatever.
Sure.
But the point is that basically it's just a bunch of hilarious, random nonsense.
Monsters and sorcerers.
And that's cool. Yeah. You can follow the lore if you want, but you don't have to. Bringing in all this other IP is nonsense. Make a game with that IP. Use the magic mechanics if you want, but call it
Dilithium
instead
game.
Of Mana or something. Why not? Like, you know, come on. I don't know. But that's
Aren't you the least bit curious?
No, not really. But that's me. Maybe I'm a fuddy-duddy. I'm not trying to be
He's a magic purist.
An asshole. So anyway, let's do it the way we are intended to do it, the proper way. So the episode we are discussing this week, and to provide a little bit of background, we're spending a little time discussing season one episodes of Star Trek, because we just did season one of Starfleet Academy and enjoyed that. And there's always these interesting discussions about the quality of storytelling and characterization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in an inaugural season of Star Trek. So we thought, let's go have some fun with some of the episodes in other series' season ones.
And
so
last week
we did a season one TNG episode. We did When the Bow Breaks. That was a fun episode. And this week, we will be discussing, any minute now, we will be discussing the Deep Space Nine.
I already said it.
Season one episode, Babel.
She's flower units about the latter self.
Flying canoe display.
Good old O'Brien.
Yeah.
Sold it.
I'm afraid this is only the beginning.
This episode, Babel, should not be confused with TOS's Journey to Babel, nor should it be confused with Star Trek Enterprise's Babel 1.
Your orders are no concern of mine.
And Jesse, indeed, you are correct. It ought not be, and very...
Never.
It's quite unlikely that it would be confused with the entirely different franchise, Babylon 5.
Let's hope.
Is that understood?
It is...
Quite clearly.
Understood. So.
Oh, I see.
So, Dan. Each week I have a question for you.
Several questions.
Well, this is the main question.
Yes.
I'm going to put it to you now.
Yes, sir.
Are there any Dan's bits? Dan's classic bits?
Yes.
Duties?
This week. So, do we have any duty or no duties?
Yeah, tell me about it.
That answer is unclear.
Not clear at all.
I think I might know why it's unclear, but I wanted to confirm that you intended that to be an unclear answer.
I hope.
All right, so I'm gonna go.
But there's no evidence of that here.
I'm gonna go with what I'm thinking is the reason you have played a non-committal clip with regard to the duty or no duties, because the game, by the way, folks, is like, if somebody says duty, do they say duty or do they say it like duty, like a poop? Okay. Poop. So that's one of Dan's regular games. Are there any that's in orders?
Tell me about it.
All right, that's it. Yes.
No, there's no. I'm sorry.
There's no that's in order. Because I was going to say, there's another one that could be ambiguous with the that's in order. It wasn't that's in order, but there was an order, but not a that's in order. in this episode. Did you catch the order? But not that.
Well, there's Sisko says that's an order. Sisko orders Jaheel to stand down.
Exactly. He orders Jaheel, but he doesn't say that's an order.
And he says,
"Your orders are no concern of mine."
Yes. So so I'm ordering you to stand down. That's fine. That's not an order at all.
Yeah. I just wanted to confirm that.
No, clear.
Provided as an example for the audience.
The real truth behind why I played this.
Tell me about it.
Is because there were only two yeses and only two noes in this episode. Usually there's more in each episode, and I ran out of yeses and noes, and I panicked, and I just played something sort of that didn't make any sense. Then I decided to roll with it, but now I pulled the curtain back.
For folks at home, Dan records all these sound clips from each episode or movie or what have you, and he organizes them in all sorts of interesting and clever ways, and one of those is that he will have clips that are positive clips or negative clips, as well as clips that say yes or affirmative or no or negative, that sort of thing. So.
Yes.
At some point, we should just be doing a podcast about the podcast.
I agree.
Extra podcast.
Yeah, that'll be on the Patreon.
Where we talk about, I guess.
Like Thursday night, we'll do like a live stream. Like, how'd you think it went? It's like, I don't know. I think I've talked
about
shit up.
Like, yeah, Dan's always, you know. Yeah. This is how he does it this time.
I'll be like, I don't know about that whole booby thing. Why was I talking about it?
Came out of nowhere. I didn't know.
On the one hand, I was claiming allegiance to late wave feminism, and on the other hand, I was talking about boobies. Gotta love them boobies.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would.
Your booby trap.
Okay, anything else? Lists? What else can we look forward to?
No one need ever know.
No one need ever know. Okay.
No one need ever know.
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 I'm guessing you just sort of like that.
I think it's fun.
I sort of like it too.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No one need ever know.
No one need ever know.
No one need ever know.
Right.
So each time you asked me one of those, I really didn't answer any of your questions.
I'm cool with that.
Well,
I'm enjoying
you're
it.
A son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, sometimes.
How unfortunate.
We live in ambiguous times, and sometimes you got to provide ambiguous scenarios.
Yeah.
Not good, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay, so now now what you've done there, I mean, I don't know if this is some hyper-genius meta-joke that you've done there, but you answered my previous question by just asserting, you just claimed, you observed that you hadn't answered any of my previous questions. And in doing so, you didn't answer that specific question either.
Okay.
Lists.
I'll get right on it.
So we have a sort of list, which is just kind of like listing all the shit that is going wrong with DS9.
All right.
So there was a bunch of shit that went wrong.
Is DS9 your preference or because I usually say Deep Space Nine.
I'd never thought about it.
Usually you call it by the Cardassian name. Right?
Tarek Nor.
Tarek Nor. Yeah. Your band's always about Tarek Nor every day. It's like Tarek Nor.
Yeah, that's true.
You're back on Tarek Nor. Back in those days.
I've known Dan since he was like 14. And in that entire time, two things have always been true. He's always been Tarek Nor, and he's always been about quote unquote states' rights.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right, sir.
The order.
States' rights.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's about states' rights.
States' rights.
The thing about anything else is naive. It's actually about states' rights. It's just about states' rights.
That's all it is. Yeah.
That was the sole reason.
The sole reason. Okay. So what were you? Did you say something about lists?
There are
some lists.
I had a list of all the things that go wrong on Tarek Nor.
All right.
On
Deep Space Nine. That's right. I interrogated you about the Deep Space Nine. I have no. I assert no preference other than my own. I do tend to use the long form Deep Space Nine unless I'm writing it down, of course.
All right. Well, I just do whatever. However the spirit moves me,
which is great. Are you a Quaker?
A bunch of mamma jamma.
Are you a Quaker?
Yes, I'm a Quaker, Patrick.
He's a fucking Quaker. This guy.
Dan's Quaker. That's great.
From fucking Pennsylvania.
It's good. You know, you just stand up and talk when the spirit moves you.
Joking, Chief.
I'm not actually a Quaker.
He's a Shaker.
I'm a Mennonite.
For folks at home, Dan stands up. The spirit moves Dan to speak quite often.
Yeah, he gets right the hell up.
And another thing. I'd love to see Dan at a Quaker meeting. All right, now we
imagine it must take some getting used to.
Now we won't inflict that on.
There's three duty or no duties.
Three duty or no duties. Yeah,
they're all very close to each other. They're all very close. You did that before the podcast.
Okay, so Jesse's brought a pre-podcast thing onto the podcast.
It always gets him when I do that.
Well, always. Just tonight for the first time, Jesse referred. What did you say, Jesse? You responded to Dan and you said damn mon or something like that.
I have been saying mon instead of saying man.
Yeah.
Consider it a warning, Quark.
And it was upsetting Dan.
Sort of
Dan.
Like vaguely European or something. Yeah. And I thought it sounded funny. Yeah. It's just keeps getting his thing going and like.
Well, you do because it's like now it's getting to the point where like at first it was throwing me off, but now it's not so much that you're saying mon, it's that you're now I know you're trying to annoy me. It's more like the meta, like it's not what you're saying, it's the fact that you're trying to annoy me, and I'm just like, why are you trying to do this to me? But I have to be honest, you saying mon freaks me out too. It's that
yeah,
still
I
actually
know.
Does
there's
freak
something,
me out.
Yeah, there's something about it
because you keep saying mon. Like
it's amazing.
It's like why it's weird, man.
I'll be careful, man.
It sounds weird when you say man now.
Man.
All right. Is any other bits?
So I we can got, do some help up
we
here.
Got, we got three duty or no duties. Probably some lists. I don't know if you specified or not. No,
I told
no,
you
no, that's an order.
I told you the list like twice already. The right. List is of shit that went wrong on
oh,
PS9.
Yeah, that's right. Or Terignor. I forgot. Oh, all right. Very good. And for my part, later in the show,
how is that possible?
We will have our weekly, game of where the hell have I heard that before?
When?
Well, towards the end of the show, in the third section, the third break of the show.
I sympathize, Major.
Great.
But I don't think I can help you.
Last thing, since we're on the topic of, us being feminists and all that, before we start the discussion of Babel, we have a voicemail. Dan, you'll be happy to hear. We've got a voicemail from Fraser.
You'll be
perfect. Absolutely perfect.
It's been forever since we've heard from Fraser.
I was from Fraser.
I was even asking about where's the Fraser
yeah.
been?
Yeah, we're like, where's Fraser? Well, now we know where he is.
Yeah.
So, take it away.
No one need ever know.
Take it away, Fraser.
Hey, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. It's Fraser here, and I would like to suggest that you start a second podcast. It's called Bitches Be Pissin'.
Hi.
I'm kind of enamored with that. And also, if it could actually be about ladies peeing, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Appreciate your work. Love you guys. Keep doing it. I want to see ladies pissing.
Ooh, okay.
Thanks, Agamus.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
So again, like I said, we adhere to whatever stage of feminism is like cool with that. Just for a little explanation for those who might be just tuning in this week.
Sabotage.
What Fraser is referencing is
it's just a crazy idea.
We were comically talking about. I can't remember the context. What was it? Yeah. Oh yes, I recall.
Because I was talking about
a couple episodes ago.
I was talking about how girls
never talk about pooping, so they talk about peeing.
Well, and it's because we were talking about. It was in reference to a Starfleet Academy episode where Genesis
live.
I was taking the bridge, and then she was like, I have to pee.
Yes.
And then we were talking about that, and I postulated that girls often talk about having to pee, and then I hypothesized more like it, that maybe they talk about peeing. Well, first of all, assuming that they do actually talk about peeing all the time, this is my...
That was Dan's perception.
This was my perception based upon my own biases filtered through my own lens of perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I said, if this is true, if what I'm stating is true, perhaps it would be because... that they never talk about pooping.
Yeah.
And Patrick was like, well, girls talk about pooping all the time. Yeah. And I was like, well, maybe in your family they do. But like, I never had a sister, so my experience with girls has been like...
Cousins?
Yeah, Jesse and I are sister folks. And
I had some cousins that were always talking about pooping.
And Dan's a brother folk.
I have cousins, but we didn't see each other enough, and talking about peeing and pooping wasn't like a thing we did. But I theorized that it's like, oh, they don't talk about pooping, so they talk about peeing. And then Patrick said something about like...
I said, bitches be pissing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it is funny.
I don't get it.
But yeah, Fraser, we'll take that.
I don't get it.
We'll take that under advisement. Maybe we'll do that as a Patreon thing. We'll see. We would like to get
probably.
We do have
likely,
a, we yeah. do have a lot of fans from the full spectrum of whatever you're into.
Yes.
We welcome all. So maybe we can have episodes. Bitches be pissing. Dudes be shitting. I don't know. Dogs.
Relax, doctor.
We can figure that out. So keep an eye out. Patreon.com/itsgotstartrek and I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Try it now.
Yes, try it now. How about that? That's a great segue into actually discussing this episode, but thank you, Fraser.
Thanks, Fraser. It's been a while.
Did we do a thanks, Agamus, for him already?
I did.
Okay.
But I'll do another.
Thanks, Agamus!
Great. So.
And everyone else, anyone offended.
Sorry about that.
Babble.
Babble. Now,
this is one of those episodes that on the surface.
Scrabble.
On the surface, it's like, ah, this is so funny. But when you're like watching it, you're like, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
If this was happening, it is amusing on one level, and then it's like terrifying to imagine this happening.
So wait, aphasia.
Yes.
But not
with
the
an S, not a G.
Not the inability to swallow, yeah. Which is
aphasia.
Actually, I think it's dysphagia.
No, I looked it up. There is aphasia, but there's two aphasias, one with a G and one with an S.
There's a dysphagia. I think it's dysphagia.
Dysphagia, I think, may also be something. But I'm just saying what I looked up because it even talked about the difference, how it's confusing because it sounds the same, aphasia and aphasia, aphasia. But one is with a G and one was with an S.
Okay.
We're talking the S stuff.
Right.
Okay, but because
phage with a G has to do with eating.
Yes. But, okay, yeah, like phagic, yeah, like you know, your veggie.
Like coprophagia is eating
coprophagia,
feces.
Like eating shit.
Coprophilia is loving shit.
But I thought I remembered looking it up and it was like dysphagia.
Well, maybe you may indeed remember that because maybe you did do that. And maybe that's true.
Maybe.
Multiple
you did
things
do that.
Can be true.
I don't know.
Regardless, we talking about the crazy talking business, not swallowing business, which also.
I have no idea what you're talking
also
about.
Also sounds horrible. Like imagine if this whole episode was instead of them talking goofy, it was like, we can't swallow.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying.
You're just watching them try to swallow and you can't.
And they're all got tubes and stuff.
And just like, oh.
Tubes.
Yeah, it sucks not to.
Anyway.
Star Trek's tubes.
So.
Star Trek tubes.
Now the question is, does aphasia like affect your ability to write? Because O'Brien could not write either.
In this case, yes.
And in their case.
In real life, it can as well.
I would imagine.
Yeah. It's because the language center is managing the concepts, and then different things can map to those concepts, including muscle movements of the mouth and vocal cords, as well as the writing of the hands. So.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, when you look up this stuff, it's not fun to read about it. And as they mentioned in the episode, it's a real thing, but normally is associated with a stroke or you know, getting hit in the head or something, some sort of injury but you know, disease.
They decided that it wasn't actually aphasia.
Yeah, it was mimicking aphasia.
Yeah,
but it's also like one of those things. It's a description of a symptom, and symptoms can have multiple causes. So. I think you could still cause it aphasia if it's still functioning.
Aphasiatic.
Aphasia-ish.
Aphasiatic.
Aphasic.
Aphasiatic.
Funny, she doesn't look aphasic.
Aphasiatic. Aphasiatic.
What is that? Is that like next to the Mediterranean?
Asiatic.
Sorry. Little geography joke there. Jesse got it.
You're not making any sense.
Makes total sense, sir.
This episode starts out with our poor beleaguered O'Brien. This is so early in Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine.
Chief O'Brien?
It's, of course, a cliche joke now that O'Brien, as the everyman, is the one that so often was tortured by the writers.
Yeah.
Well, is this the fifth episode of the
yeah,
show?
Yeah, this is the fifth episode.
It's right in there. Like, let's start out with O'Brien just being like, Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, in case you guys forgot, I do have a list of all the work that had to be done on.
Okay,
on
why don't we get started? I think this is a good opportunity with this busted up old Tarek Nor.
Yeah. So this is
DS9.
This list is very
states' rights.
Cleverly called "Too Much Work for O'Brien." Mm. O'Brien has too much. Number one,
that's a first draft title, right? Yeah. It's been a busy week. what's the list called?
Too much work for O'Brien. O'Brien has too much. And so, like the subheading is O'Brien has too much. So it's too much work for O'Brien. And then the subtitle is O'Brien has too much.
Like too much work. Work, I guess.
Double sweet.
Foolish assembled regal.
So number one, the people get stuck in some kind of airlock or something. That's when they're all knocking on the door.
That's
they're like, let us out. You know, and, it's kind of alarming at first when you see it. You think like they're about to get like sucked out to space or something, but it's all just kind of inconvenient. So then
super inconvenient.
That leads right into number two, that darn Captain Jaheel, who was just kind of put in this episode to give a little drama at the end of the episode. That was his whole purpose. He really had nothing to do with the plot at all. I thought that maybe he'd be related somehow, but it was just kind of to make
add
some tension.
Do you know who Captain Jaheel was played by?
Sounded familiar.
He looked really familiar.
I
had to look it up because I was like, I recognize this guy, but he's so, you know, he's so aliened up.
Yeah.
Holograms?
I forget. Unfortunately, I neglected to write down the actor's name.
Well, great. That's,
I'm
going to
look it up right
now,
bitch.
Way to set it up.
But he
you know who he was? I forget.
But when I tell you, you'll understand. He played the landlord in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's right.
He was the dude's landlord who does the dance show.
Oh, you mean Jack Keller?
Yes, I think it's Jack Keller. Yeah.
I think that's correct, sir.
He's great. He's one of those actors who never, I don't know, he passed away a few years ago. He's in so many things, and he's always memorable. But then
May 7th, 2022.
You don't remember like his name and stuff, but great character actor. But I think he did a wonderful job with this early alien character.
He was in Waterworld.
So the door was all messed up, and they couldn't open it up. And then Captain Jaheel, there was a problem with his ship. I can't remember what exactly was wrong with his ship.
You got a problem with your
ship. His warp something or others needed to be realigned, and he wasn't able to get above warp one
and
or something like that.
What was his cargo, and it was going to go bad?
I
had a whole bunch of Mokhtar.
Some sort of a produce of some sort.
Yeah.
The people need to readjust his ship's antimatter flow converter. Oh, that was what the problem was. Yeah. So there was actually no problem with the ship related to Jaheel at this point. It was just Jaheel needed work.
There was some maintenance that needed to be done. He was expecting it to be done
but
earlier.
He was really, he's really aggressive. He's like tapping hard on O'Brien. Like he's laying hands on O'Brien. Man. Yeah. You can't be laying hands on officers like that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is I enjoyed this characterization of the difference between Deep Space Nine and what we're used to on TNG, et cetera, where it's all Federation people interacting mostly with Federation people or their counterparts. Here, Deep Space Nine is just a working port.
Which is space bozos.
These folks are like, I got shit to do. I got shit to deliver. I'm not putting up with this bullshit.
Right, space stiffs.
And that's how they get shit done. And it's a fun early example that I think they really did a good job in season one of Deep Space Nine of differentiating this place from what we're used to seeing. And that's the whole point of the show, is having fun with all these crazy people, like all the stuff that happens with Quark and Odo is great because they're outside of what we're usually used to dealing with.
Oh, I mean, and speaking of the Odo Quark thing, like this episode is great because it began with like Odo was so snide and smug with Quark at the very beginning. Like it's like dripping off of him at the very beginning because he's like
making fun of his lack of business because nobody's attending Quark's bar.
So the three things he goes,
who knows if things don't improve, you may be forced to close down.
then he goes,
oh, another satisfied customer.
And then he goes,
no telling when that will be. Yeah. The chief's a very busy man.
Yeah. Like, and each time he, and you don't hear it on each of these clips I wrote, but before he either begins it with, like, or huh, or what?
Rene Auberjonois.
It's great.
Is so perfect.
It's so
in this role.
It's amazing. But it's funny because at the end, like, Quark gets one over on Odo at the end. Like, at the end, Odo's all harried and fucked up, and Quark's like, haha, here to the rescue. Mm-hmm. And so, like, so in the end, like, Quark has his day on that. I don't know if I'm imagining this, but it feels like Odo's makeup is a little more
absolutely
more definition.
Yeah. It took about half a season before they smoothed it out.
Yeah, they smoothed
and got it out.
Sorted
it was a little goofy.
Yeah, it took them a while to settle.
But yeah, because later on it was definitely very smooth, and at the beginning there were more ridges and stuff. Anyways, I'm getting off topic.
It's more gross.
Yeah,
give us one more list item, then we got to go to break. One more item, and then wait. We take a break, and then it's gonna be wild when we come back.
Oh,
people are gonna be so excited to come back.
Wow. So okay, then after the airlock and Jaheel, Dax calls.
The airlock and Jaheel sounds like Captain and Tennille.
I know.
Oh, weird.
Hey, Tinlater, after Love Boat tonight, airlock and Jaheel.
No booby trap.
So after that, Dax calls O'Brien, and there's a problem at the lab. There's some kind of super loud noise. And first, he's wondering if it's the EPS converter. Mm-hmm. Always with these EPS things. Yeah. And Enterprise, it was the EPS conduits, which was something totally different. The EPS conduits were on, like, I don't know if their difference are the same.
The converter converts the EPS from the Cardassian, the EPS, the D-dads to the boobabs.
I wonder, what does EPS stand for?
Oh, like a male-to-female connector?
EPS manifold? Mm. Electroplasma system?
Sure, why not?
I think that's what it said. Okay, so they were wondering, first he was like, is it the EPS converter? She's like, I already checked that. He's like, is it the intensity grip? She's like, nuh-uh. And then he goes, it's the secondary phase modulator. Oh. He knows because they had trouble with them last week in the main power core. And so, like, it's awesome because he knows shows how well he knows that system, because he just went through the list and he like that's real. It's a real thing.
He's
like,
when
you
engineer.
Know a system like that, you can do that shit. Problem was, he fixed it and all the lights went out. Yeah. But that's preferable.
And then
to
he's like,
noise.
Anything else I can help you with?
Right.
That was a good. That was a good tech support joke.
Yeah, right.
I liked it when
our
fix
fucked your shit up.
He climbed in like underneath the replicator had like all this space underneath, like the crawl space where he could just like. Remove a plate and get it under there.
And then he had some
like,
trouble putting the plate back.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing to keep in. They were like, we're not going to film that again. Film's expensive. Yeah. All right. We got to take a break because digital SD card space is expensive. Yeah. We don't want to use it all up.
You can delete it.
So No, we can't.
It's like film.
I'm a digital hoarder. So yes, we will be right back.
I'll be back as soon as I can. No one's going anywhere.
And we're back.
Energizing! Now, how may I be of use?
I didn't notice until you just played that how he said, how flamboyantly he said, energizing.
And also, there's a point where, in that same scene where Kira, like, says something to him. She's all surprised. Like she calls in to at the end, and she's like, she calls into the bridge or whatever. Do they call it a bridge?
Ops.
Yeah.
Operations.
And Quark's like, Quark here, and she's like, Quark, what are you doing here? And Quark like has this big smile, and he does this weird head waving dance where he's like got this big crazy weird open mouth smile, and he's like going like ah, and he's making this weird like head dance. It's hard to explain, but it's right after she says Quark, it goes back to him, and he's like having a grand old time on Ops at the end there. I want to point out that sorry that it took us a little longer to get back from break from as it normally does. Patrick had to stop for a second and do his Duolingo. Well,
I don't think that anybody knows because there's just a
Dan is knows full well.
Of course he does.
In no way would affect our listening audience.
So I was sitting down, I was ready to go, and Patrick's like, wait a minute, and he had to start doing his Duolingo before we could come back.
It was really funny.
He interrupted the podcast.
I couldn't believe he was doing it.
He interrupted the podcast so he could do his Duolingo.
I challenge this characterization of interrupting the podcast because it was in fact during the break. You and I have different opinions of what break means.
But like, what if I was just like, hey, wait, hold on a sec, I gotta beat this video game real quick.
Patrick's idea break is more in the union sense.
it's like
you had forgotten something.
I'm learning Japanese.
He's taking a full break.
Let me learn my Japanese. You can play your little games, Dan. You like games? You're a games kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You're Danny Games.
Oh, I see.
Now we're officially back.
Okay, but I want to confirm something that we were discussing earlier. So aphasia let me start with dysphagia. Okay. Dysphagia is difficulty or discomfort in swallowing. Swallowing. Not swallowing, it's swallowing because it's ending the sentence. Dysphagia is a difficulty or discomfort in swallowing.
Dan is a human male.
It's dysphagia is difficulty and discomfort in swallowing.
He's not an imposter. He's neither reptile nor AI nor alien.
Okay.
A
regular old human male.
Dysphagia is difficulty or discomfort in swallowing, whereas aphasia is the total inability. To swallow. And that makes sense because when it has an A at the beginning, it's like immoral, amoral,
amoral.
Or versus dismoral. Yeah.
Very scary.
That classic question was Iago in Othello, immoral or amoral?
Or dismoral.
We're not going to get into it today.
Was he dismoral?
I don't know if that's a
I think he was dismoral.
I think he might have visited Balmoro, which is in England.
Balmoral
in Scotland. Huh?
Well, Scotland, yes. Yeah, it's the UK, I should say. I apologize. That's offensive for me to suggest that Scotland.
It's in England.
It was a part of the English country. It is not. Real quick before we get back to
I'm afraid that's not going
to
do it,
before
sir.
Before we get back to your list, Dan, I noticed something just sort of offhand. This is not anything particularly insightful, but I did think it was slightly amusing. You know, I'm looking up facts and figures on all these episodes. We do research on all manner of websites hither and thither. And I just noticed that there was a fair discrepancy in the episode descriptions for this particular episode of Deep Space Nine when you looked across the different services.
You have any theories?
And some of them are really like, I want to, especially I'm curious about Dan's opinion on whether or not these are spoilery or not. And the caveat being, of course, this is a very old TV show and maybe we consider spoilers differently with age. Okay. But I'll just go through these real quick.
1993.
On Amazon Prime and Paramount Plus, they had the same description for this episode. It simply said, a deadly virus sweeps over Deep Space Nine, and it is up to Kira to find an antidote.
I don't... so it is... I wouldn't...
It's a little misleading,
isn't it? It's misleading. That's what I'm saying. I would say it would be spoilery if it wasn't so misleading.
And it's not just Kira.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Like, a lot of people are telling
a lot of things are... That's why I say it would be spoilery if it wasn't so misleading. Like, there's more to it than that. You know, yeah, there's a lot more to it than that. So it's like... yeah, it's too misleading to be useful or spoilery.
All right. Now, how about Memory Alpha, right? So I know people have varying opinions on Memory Alpha, but it is a prominent repository.
Who has negative opinions of Memory Alpha?
Well, particularly since a number of years ago, Memory Alpha was bought by and folded into the whole fandom network. And I think people have complaints about the ads, the organization, and some other things.
Open Way Alpha.
That's one position. On the other hand, it does... contain probably the most robust collection of user, I think largely user-generated information, similar, you know, like a wiki.
Computer, replay morning.
For all the Star Trek stuff, so it is utilized by a lot of folks, fans, and professional Star Trek podcasters like ourselves.
Simple hesitation!
And Memory Alpha, their description is, a virus infects the station's residents, making almost everyone unable to speak coherently.
Controlled weather. Foolish assembled regal.
She looked really scared.
What about Chakotaya.com?
That I haven't looked at. I think the Memory Alpha one was, you know, a bit banal, but pretty straightforward. And I don't think spoilery. I wouldn't say that's spoilery.
No.
Okay. Now, Apple TV. Apple TV says, an aphasia-like virus planted in DS9's food replicator system.
You mean aphasia.
Aphasia-like virus?
It says an aphasia-like virus.
What the fuck?
Planted in Deep Space Nine's DS9's food replicator system by the Bajoran underground against their one-time oppressors lies dormant until being activated during refurbishment.
A booby trap. You can cross barrels. All job appalled.
Yeah, that's very spoilery.
Right? I read that and I was like, really?
That's pretty spoilery. Because that basically reveals all the points that they discover throughout the episode. Because one of the big points of the episode is that, well, one of the parts of the episode is they think at first, like, Kira, like, is assumes it's Cardassia.
That is Cardassian technology.
Yeah, of course.
So what we have here is sabotage.
Cardassian sabotage.
How can you be sure?
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
So, yeah, I was also expecting Dan to play a bunch of the sabotage.
Sabotage.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Not joking, Mon.
So, you're doing it on purpose.
Of course. Bread, the arrive seen earlier.
He sounds so in despair when he says that. That's right when he figures out what happens to him, and he just looks so crestfallen when he does it. That's when Odo follows up with.
Oh. Yeah. I see.
It's a really bummer of a scene, actually.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is like a quote-unquote lighthearted episode. Yeah. It's played in many ways like a lighthearted episode, but...
No, but like one of the things is like they're trying to figure out... At first, I thought that device thing was going to be the reason shit was fucking up. But the shit for fucking up was just incidental to that fact that it's a shitty old station, basically.
No, I mean, the device was the thing that caused the virus.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when I saw that device at first, I thought before it... they explained what was happening when they first.
Oh, because you didn't read the description.
I didn't read the Apple description
on Apple TV.
No, when I was first watching it and they first showed the device, I was like, oh, is, because it's been a while since I'd seen the episode. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, is this device the reason things are breaking on DS9? Because, but no, it has absolutely nothing to do with breaking the stuff breaking.
They found it because stuff was breaking.
Yeah, but like, yeah, right. And so the stuff, yeah, so things breaking was just DS9 being a shitty old station.
Shitty.
And so, so you find out that this thing is causing this shit, so that's a plot point. At first they think it's a Cardassian tech, but it turns out the twist is that it looks like Cardassian tech, but it's actually Bajoran tech to fuck up the Cardassians,
which actually makes sense.
And that's clever, and that's something that I would not want to know ahead of time, for sure.
Absolutely not. And so you probably don't want to be getting your TV descriptions from IMDb, because IMDb's description of this episode is: the crew and civilian population of Deep Space Nine begin to speak gibberish when a plague an aphasia virus engineered by the Bajorans as a weapon against the Cardassians accidentally gets released onto the space station's atmosphere.
Wow.
But I'd say something ridiculous like window.
You don't even have to watch the episode.
Roll Lingerwin life. Roll Lingerwin. What?
You know what's ridiculous about what Sisko said? Is that he said you'd say something ridiculous like window. Window's not a particularly ridiculous
word. It's not crazy. It's not as crazy as he made it up.
It should have been like ridiculous, like gloopy gloopy.
Yeah. Zebra bassoon.
Let birds go further loose, maybe.
The very last description is similar to the IMDb one, and only slightly different, and it's the slight difference that I'm kind of interested in, on Plex. And by the way, Plex descriptions they seem to vary depending on what part of the app you load up or where you load it up. But when I'm looking at Plex on my TV, the description is: the crew and the civilian population of Deep Space Nine begin to gabble. When a plague engineered by the Bajorans as a weapon against the Cardassians accidentally gets released into the station's atmosphere. So that's
dog.
That's essentially
fellow,
distant. That's essentially identical to the IMDb description, except instead of begin to speak gibberish, it's
gabble.
Begin to gabble.
I've never heard that word.
I don't think I've heard the word gabble.
Shout easy play.
Chief.
And I pride myself on knowing a bunch of silly words that
I've heard a lot of words.
And particularly, I'm a collector of,
I don't get it,
of BLE words.
I've lived a long time.
Words that end in BLE, because they tend to be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like babble.
Yeah,
or booble.
So Jaheel, he goes,
dog, fellow, distant.
I think it's interesting that of all words they chose for him to say, dog. Because I imagine from wherever he's from, I'm guessing they have pets, but they don't specifically have a dog.
They have dags.
Yeah.
I thought it was because he looked like a dog.
I don't think that's
maybe
why.
He was a dirty dog. You know
I'm just saying, like, dirty dog. I'm just saying, you wouldn't think he'd say dog. You'd think he would use the word of like his native pet.
He wasn't worried about getting his crop on time. Maybe he was late for a date.
Never mind. Let's move on.
He's a dirty dog.
Let's move on. This is not going anywhere.
I agree. Rabies. I thoroughly agree with your point, Dan, and support it.
Rabies.
Watch show red intense.
All right. Let's continue on the list. What's the next list item of things?
Probably.
Okay.
What was it? Things breaking down on.
It's too much work for O'Brien.
Too much work for O'Brien.
Wait, I'm not done.
Overburdened
stop,
O'Brien.
Hey, stop it. Let me sit down. It's the title of it.
All right.
Too much work for O'Brien.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not done yet. You keep saying okay.
I'm looking.
You keep going like blah, 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 blah. Okay. Too much work for O'Brien. O'Brien has too much.
Oh, there. Yes, that's right. I forgot about the subtitle.
Word. That's why it's... Yeah. Okay, so I just ended on...
the fact that it's confusing is what makes it art.
I ended on Dax to O'Brien. O'Brien fixed the shit in her office, but turned off the lights. Okay, number four. Kira's navigational computer hasn't worked reliably for not one, not two, not seven, but 3 days. She said she asked for star charts for the Argosian sector, but they got the star charts from the Glycine sector.
I know. That's
fucking crazy.
What kind of shit is that?
That's fucked up. You can't rely on that. You can't rely on that. And then she was like, you have to coax it online, basically. You all have to like massage it, you know, make sure you hit the startup buttons just in the right order. You all know how it goes back when you would try to reinstall Windows 95 and it was like it wouldn't always want it reinstalled, so you'd have to coax it back. They're much better nowadays.
Config.sys.
Oh yeah. That's when the scene, and I sent this picture to you all. After she says that, O'Brien pops up from that weird engineering basement section of ops, and he looks like a chipmunk. He's got his hands like, he's making like a chipmunk face with the teeth, and he's got his hands all like a chipmunk. No, I think that I love that part of Ops because they have a little basement in
Ops.
Yeah,
it is neat.
Is that like an engineering
and
room?
And people are always going down that elevator though. You're going,
there's the elevator turbo lift, and then there's what Dan's talking about, almost like an orchestra pit.
Yeah,
except
right.
They've got a bunch of the little rods and stuff.
Yeah, all the rods.
Yeah, the data rods.
I think that's awesome. I love how they designed it. The way they designed Deep Space Nine for the show is awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. Great use of space. The promenade too. We get a really good look at the promenade this episode because it's empty,
and it really gives you like this vibe of like how dark and sinister the Cardassians are because it's all like industrial and like the doors are these big gear circle things that are
very prisony, slave labory, occupation-y.
Like hard cuts.
So
hard cuts, you say?
Yes,
in
the sleeping quarters.
Just clarifying that.
Holograms.
Talking about some hard cuts.
Cuts.
Yes.
What is going on here?
Excuse me?
Indeed.
So then the replicator's fucked up, so he's drinking his Ciscagino or whatever Cisco is drinking.
It's just coffee. This thing is just coffee. This is pre-Ractogino.
And the cups are different.
Yeah, and we're not going to spoil the hilarious sitcom joke ending yet.
Yeah, right.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
It is related to this coffee,
right.
Business.
But the replicator's off, but this is when O'Brien snaps.
Yeah.
That's when he's like, oh, I'll get right on it. Forgive me for having, daydreaming.
And
I gotta get back to work.
Looking at him like, what?
And it's hilarious because, like, instead of getting mad at him, Cisco's just like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They're nervous. I think they're like,
this guy's gonna blow.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's kind of funny how, like, when you snap at your superior, like, usually you're gonna get yelled at, but if they can tell that you've been stressed too much, they're probably just gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna leave
It's O'Brien.
You have to recognize when someone's being, like, what's the rule? Not disobedient, but what's the word when you're defiant to your
I know exactly the word you're talking about.
Insubordinate.
Insubordinate. Yes. Yeah. There's a difference between being insubordinate and just like being overworked and stressed, and you got to know when to sort of like when to reprimand them and when to just back off and let them cool down.
And I'm not certain that this was necessarily on purpose with the writers. I couldn't say. I do know that I've heard from folks, Star Trek fans who are also in the military, that they talk about. What's interesting with O'Brien is that he's not an officer. He is a non-commissioned, he's a chief, and what's interesting is at least according to what some people have talked about online, is they said that you can be a high-ranking officer, but there's certain scenarios where like everyone has to listen to the chief because the chief is the only one who actually knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And so that there's these weird things where technically the chief still has to say sir and salute to that person, but everyone has to do what that
he's got like more seniority.
Yeah, because like he's like the things will like fall to pieces if without that person's knowledge.
Actually,
and I think O'Brien is sometimes in that scenario. This is kind of an example.
Chief O'Brien.
He's like a sergeant.
Yeah.
Actually, Sisko got yelled at twice this episode, once by O'Brien and later, like when he was telling Kira not to go off the ship.
Yeah.
And Kira's like, what the fuck? I got to do this, man. Mm-hmm. And then Odo, you could see like as early as episode 5, you could see the connection between Odo and Kira. Cause like, he's like, you better listen to her, Commander, it just seemed like they you could tell that they had a history together in this episode.
And Odo conveying to Sisko really efficiently. And I respect Sisko for immediately getting the message because Commander Sisko is efficient. Because Odo gives it what Odo is conveying is, dude, she's gonna win this argument in the end. So just don't worry about it.
Yeah,
Sisko's
right.
Like, okay,
yeah,
I'm not gonna waste any more time in this. I believe you.
Yeah,
Odo is also all like saying like the Bajoran must have put the device in before he was in charge of.
Yeah, he made a big point about that.
Yeah, right.
Nothing new with me.
Which is. Total bullshit from what we've seen from Odo,
so,
because
everybody
always gets by fucking Odo.
Well, that's, although it depends, because like Odo also has that whole vibe where he like lets certain things happen so then he can like catch other things.
Sure.
And then of course he's like in love with Quark, so like he just like lets Quark do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Romantic.
Mm-hmm. Quark-mantic. All right.
So
what's up? What's next, Dan?
So, well then Kira, tactlessly makes a joke that turbo lift number 3 broke again.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a fucked up joke.
Yeah, right.
Number 3.
Yeah, I got cool.
Like
but,
transporter bay number 3.
And at this point, it's around, I think, this point when O'Brien starts like being aphasic?
Simple hesitation.
Well, ankle, try sound.
Yeah, isn't it right after?
Reset gleaming.
It's right after, because is this the point where Kira says he like looks Kiwi tired mouse. Or whatever, and because that's when he starts talking all like crazy at first, because Cisco's like, you did a good job, go like chill out or something. I forget exactly what the deal was.
It was she says, how can I help you, Major? And she's like, you're the one who could use a little help. Then he says, oh no, I'm fine. And she says, I suppose this isn't good. She makes the joke about the turbo lick.
Turbo lick.
The turbo
Yeah, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Then he goes,
Major Lark's true pepper.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
Sneezy windows.
So, you know, I
flying canoe display.
I thought at that point they would have made some connection. They would have said something like, "Wow, O'Brien must be really overworked," but they never made that connection.
I think it was implied. They kind of looked at him like, "Whoa, that dude is like tired."
Yeah.
They had a good excuse.
Good excuse.
Yeah. Maybe they need to hire more people to help O'Brien out.
Yeah.
Maybe he should be doing the whole thing himself.
But I think the first thing he said was the.
She's flower units about the latter self.
I think that was the first time.
And then he corrected himself about that was about Cisco was complimenting Keiko or passing along compliments from Jake.
He goes, she's quite fond of the lad herself.
Yeah.
Although I really like she's flower units about the lad.
Yes.
I think that's
fine. I have that written down here too. She's flower units.
Flower units.
So, okay. And then the final thing. Well, not the final, actually not the final thing, okay. But
the penultimate thing.
But one thing that I didn't realize till later, I was like, at first when I watched it with the whole mooring clamp situation at the end, how I was like, you know, it seems like a serious design flaw that all a ship has to do to like fuck up a space station is just try to leave dock without permission. You'd think they'd have some kill switches, or you'd think the clamps would be able to. You'd think they'd have kill switches for the ship or something that would prevent this catastrophe that was going to happen. It seems like the station was going to get seriously fucked up just because some captain got impatient and tried to like back out while he was still clamped in. And I was like, that's not realistic. Like,
I thought that was kind of lame.
And then I realized I was like, oh, well, DS9 is like a shitty fucked up station.
It's a shitty old station.
So it makes sense. It's like, it's like just another, I mean, maybe the writers didn't mean it this way, but I take it as it's just another example of shit that's fucking up on the station.
Because Cisco said, all right, release the clamps. And they're like, it's not fucking working. Yeah. Like we're pushing the button and it's like, it's not working. I agree with you.
But
it makes sense in that context.
Yeah, and the thing is they should have been able to release the clamps, but also, like I said, there should be some kind of kill switch because of situations like this where they had a lockdown. Mm-hmm. They should be able to keep people in, I guess, you know.
Well, and the thing about this...
Key people.
Jarheel plot line
Beak
was...
Beekeeper.
Beekeeper. Toast of London. Check it out.
The strike limits flame the dark true salt.
The Jarheel plot is interesting in some ways. It makes sense. You can imagine this scenario of somebody being upset that they're being put under. He seems simultaneously upset about the quarantine because A, he doesn't want to get sick, and B, he wants to deliver his product.
Right.
That's good. They used him to help characterize the station is more rough and tumble than the Federation.
I think they just put it in there for the final action scene.
Well, but here's the thing, though, is all that like, other stuff to me is a bit of a hat on a hat. It's not quite big enough to be a B plot. And then it's just sort of adding a little extra danger. And there was already plenty because the challenge already was people are talking crazy. And oh, by the way, if you don't fix it in a certain amount of time, they're also going to die.
Yeah.
And then Kira's kidnapping people. And like I get that they must have had to fill out the time, or maybe they were just like, we need an explosion or something. But it was just a little bit of a superfluous thing.
Yeah, but one thing that it allowed them to do is what I mentioned earlier, is it kind of completed the sort of Odo Quark sort of side adventure.
Yeah.
Where it was like Odo is all smug at the beginning, but then the roles reversed at the end, where Quark was like getting to be all smug and Odo's all like, shit's fucking. So it kind of like, because that happened, it allowed us to see a stressed out Odo and a Quark all laughing at him.
It's a fair point. I'm not saying
that it was needed. I'm just saying like it was kind of like neat to.
I think you can get to almost the same point with
something else.
But yeah, I'm not going to complain too much.
So it
was a fun little explosion, and you know.
And so the final
something you don't see on the old TNG.
And so the final thing was, of course, the sitcom ending.
Yes, the sitcom ending.
Which where Sisko, after all this bullshit's gone down, Sisko, and Sisko's been taking shit. He's been yelled at by O'Brien. He's been yelled at by Kira. And now he's, what is it? He, Sisko's had enough. Yeah. So now he's like getting pissed off at O'Brien. He's like, you're not doing your job, O'Brien. Well, O'Brien's been up 24 hours a day fixing people's shit. And now after all this, they just survived this crazy virus and O'Brien's been working nonstop. Mm-hmm. Now O'Brien's in real trouble because he didn't quite get that replicator right.
Because what happened is Sisko's been spending too much time in the Holo Suites in 1970s British sitcoms.
O'Brien!
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 On That Mitchell and Webb look, one of their running sketches was about, what was it, like Finnerman or something like that, about like, you know, the assistant who always gets something wrong and the boss is always yelling his name at the end of the sketch.
It reminded, where's my Walter of reminded that.
Controlled weather.
O'Brien! I'm Commander
O'Brien!
All right, that was a good list, Dan.
Left. Become better control.
At one point,
entire
that,
hope.
At one point, that nurse, her name is Jabara, she was all like, Jake was coming up to her, and he was all like, trying to like signal her to go over somewhere, and she's like, what is it, Jake? What is it, Jake? And it's like, it's like, why are you asking him? Like, you already know he can't say anything. Maybe,
just
I don't know.
Follow him. He's clearly...
It seemed like... It just reminded me of, it's like, what, come on, where is it? Where is it? Where's the problem?
Is there a problem with the old mill?
Yeah, I was going to say, she's been watching too much Lassie.
Yeah, right.
But, you talk to Lassie. Lassie will understand you.
Yeah.
She's not going to understand you. So, although, unlike the misleading descriptions that suggested that Kira was leading the whole investigation.
Yeah, right.
No, other people are involved too. However, I do really enjoy Kira doing what is in, what, 93, yes, that's right, spring of 93. I like that she's doing sort of current, contemporary to today style online database research to solve a mystery, right?
Yeah.
And it's, and it was so similar to when you watch TV mystery show now where they're all like, all right, look in this database, look over there, check the medical records, blah, blah, blah.
January 93.
She's just doing all that jazz back in the day before. Mm-hmm. And as we know, as we learned in another Deep Space Nine episode, the two-parter, Past Tense, we know that Deep Space Nine proves that their timeline does not have the internet.
Well, close the reverse harbor.
Yeah, they but we decided that subspace does actually have.
Well, you decided that subspace could be used as internet
because they can send scripts over. Now, granted, this is in the year 32nd century.
They're probably
but
not using like TCP/IP protocol.
Yeah, probably not. But they can still probably. Well,
it is a robust. They
could,
but
they could,
a robust protocol.
They could probably play Snake over subspace.
Well, sure. I would hope so.
I would hope so.
Maybe with actual some sort of like, you know, like those snakes that Barclay finds in the transporter beam, like when he's transporting.
Those worms.
Yeah, that's how you play Snake. You put little electrodes in those transporter subspace snakes.
I don't want to play that snake.
All right.
Hell no, dude.
But yeah, so
that was for me. The
Cermak was
the solving the mystery was done in an interesting way because on the one hand, it's just Kira standing around asking a fake computer questions on a set,
right?
Which you could say is boring, but I thought that they made it work.
It's like Cermak wasn't at all suspicious when she asked him about like what do you know about this virus? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he like hands, yeah, it's like, I guess he doesn't know, you know. Cermak.
But an excellent solution by Kira nice. and
oh, I dude,
early characterization of Kira and what she's willing to do to get things moving.
Her methods with Cermak were questionable but effective. So first of all, she kidnaps him.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you got to fix this. He's like, nah, I don't think I can do it. She's like, oh yeah? Well, maybe it'll help you to know that you have it now too.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like,
right.
Like,
now you got it.
It's like, welcome to the world of aphasia.
Yeah. Aphasia.
Aphasia.
So she gave him the virus so he would fix it. Now that, like, I would say that's a questionable morals, but like I said, it was effective because suddenly he went from not being able to fix it to fixing it in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, very quickly. He was sort of casually looking over Bashir's stuff.
The Bajoran
way. Like, oh, yeah. He was like almost there. It was pretty good. Yeah, well, he just, because of my extra knowledge, I'll just bleep, bloop, bloop, and we're all set.
How was she able to transport him over? I guess when they hailed each other, because she all transported him all quick. She was like, She, it seemed like she had a small window to transport him. She got him on the hailing frequency, and then she was like, boop.
I interpret that as she knew that the she could lock onto that life form. She only contacted him to confirm it was him. She didn't want to kidnap and infect the wrong person.
Right.
That was the interpretation that made the most sense to me as to why she even bothered with the connection. In addition to it just being funny TV to him, like, what are you, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, beamed away. And he's like, what are you, blah, 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 blah. I've been beamed away. You've beamed me against my will.
Glass lunch, judge, a bin to let it.
I don't understand. Okay, so
what they're saying, what he just said?
No, that's
not the point, Dan. You're not meant to understand it.
Oh, you're silly. You're a silly boy. So Bashir says, if this virus is present within a large enough segment of the population, it could mean, Sisko says, what is it, doctor? He says, I just took an air sample. The virus, it's mutated into an airborne variety. So he's saying that, is that true? If the virus is present in a large enough segment of the population, does that automatically mean it starts to want to go airborne? Is that how viruses work?
Not necessarily automatically, but...
But does it increase the odds of it going airborne?
Sure, because you are increasing the vectors for by having more of the viral cells. There's more opportunities for it to mutate and mutate in ways that are associated with the human genome, including going... airborne.
Okay, the next
I don't know if it would happen in fucking 2 hours or some shit. So the next Star Trek, what are you gonna do?
It's a space virus.
So the next thing he said is like, okay, we've established it's airborne. Then he says, which means the whole station is infected. But then Sisko says in his logs, he goes 60% has contracted the virus, but Bashir said everyone is infected with the virus. So
I again, you could quibble with the writers, but there is a difference between being really exposed versus showing symptoms.
Yeah, because
people,
like,
you can have the disease in you, but not get the disease.
But just because it's airborne doesn't mean you have been infected yet.
I agree. I think it was being maybe aggressive, although you could, if it was a virulent enough, which it seemed to be, you could argue, well, everyone's going to get infected, but I don't know. Good thing Captain Sisko lasted a long time before he succumbed to the disease.
Ankle, try sound.
Now.
Reset gleaming.
We don't want to succumb to any diseases, so we're going to do the smart thing, the healthy thing, the doctor-prescribed thing. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll conclude our discussion of this episode, Babble, and talk about where the hell have I heard that before. We will be right back.
Major, you mind telling me where you're going?
Relax, Doctor. You won't be gone long.
And we're back.
On my way.
On my way.
Hello again, Doctor.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
Lovely, Dan.
Lovely indeed.
All right, so.
Good. Double. Drink. Money. Hand mine. Give. You go. Me.
Me.
I like how nobody seems to, like, Sisko walks by and like makes a comment at him. I was like, "Gosh, baby, baby," and Quark's like, "Yeah, it's jokes on you, our immune system." But like, he doesn't like stop him from harassing the patients that are sick with this disease or this condition. Like, they're just letting Quark like harass these people.
I actually hadn't even thought about that. You're right.
He just walks by. He's like, "Oh, just carry on."
I mean, it was funny. Of course, I immediately got the joke because he was trying to communicate. He wasn't speaking nonsense.
Obviously, I got that joke. Yeah. It's just funny.
I mean, I know you got the joke. I wasn't accusing you of not getting the joke. I'm just coming.
I'm just saying.
But
I'm just
didn't observe the observation that you made.
I'm just saying. Carry on with your bullshit. I know we have an abuse of the patients that are already having a hard time as it is. I know we have to get to where the hell we've done that before.
Yeah. Yes, that's what the game is called.
I want to quickly
minimize.
But you want to do something else.
Well, I just want to quickly talk about.
Just quickly talk about this other thing.
How Quark has this busy bar.
Mm-hmm. Busy bar.
And the way he has a busy bar is because he... First of all, I want to say I like DS9's hacking. How he hacked into his computer. Because he didn't just like... do some crazy graphic things. He actually pulled out these keys and he like put them in...
A little encryption.
A little like...
isolinear rod.
And did you see that machine he was... working with? It looked like he stole it from the Death Star.
So. Yeah, it was really creative and awesome, like, and
Imperial Yard suit.
And usually when you see like hacking on TV shows, it looks kind of cheesy and lame, but I was like, yeah, I can totally see that like would be a thing somewhere.
He had a drawer with some shady shit.
Where you just put them in the right rods in the right order and you can do like different shit. Like if you took different rods and put them in a different place, what else could you do?
And again, in part made possible by the fact that Deep Space Nine, Terra Ignora is an old rickety station, yeah. and that they've sort of overlaid Federation Starfleet stuff on top of a clunky old Cardassian operating system.
I was really into that, but
because it's not. By the way, I know most people listening to this understand this, but just the extra bit of flavor is it's not that the Cardassians have bad technology. They have great technology. Their warships and stuff are top notch, top of the line. This is not that. This is a slave labor ore processing thing. It was not meant to be anything other than just a miserable place.
So he finds out where the replicators are that he can use, and so he goes to crew quarters to like replicate his food. He's
clever,
got this
clever idea.
Well, he's got this busy ass bar, and you see him going
busy
back.
Bar.
He's like just casually strolling to the back, and what is he doing? Is he going up like two decks every time he needs to grab an order? He just like grabs several things, and like if you have a busy bar like that, you are not like
Wait, Jesse.
I just want to finish what I'm saying.
Yes, I'm sorry.
If you have a busy bar, you're not just like casually, you know, meandering over to like some shit that's like two floors away or however far away it is and like filling up one push cart full of things. Like you are running your ass off, like trying to get shit. And that shit is
like in that show, The Bear.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Or like any restaurant that, yeah.
Or any other show
any
about
actual
a restaurant.
Real restaurant.
The point being is like, I don't think that his method of getting food could keep up with his like business and level of clientele he had at that moment.
Now, Jesse, your observation.
I was just going to say that he has other folks working. He's got fucking Rom, and there's probably some other bozos he's got in there.
Speaking of Rom, there was a retcon. That happened later on because Rom was referred to as his assistant. Now he could still be his brother, but he was always referred to specifically as his brother later on.
I think he was referred to as his brother in Emissary.
Is he?
Yeah, I believe so. Nog is his nephew. Rom is Nog's dad. I think he was. I agree. It stood out to me that he referred to Rom as his assistant.
Yeah, well,
and it was partly confusing because again, I'm fairly certain that it's established in the pilot that Rom is his brother.
So. Okay, well then, what about this?
I thought the retcon you're going to mention is that they were acting,
Rom's an idiot.
Yes, acting like
he couldn't fix a straw if it was bent.
That was the part where they were saying Rom is like he didn't
Rom
believe
couldn't have
like
fixed
he didn't
it.
Believe that Rom could have fixed the thing because Rom couldn't do shit. But we find out that Rom is like the best at that shit.
Yes. Yeah, and even in other episodes, like we've talked about, like Rom like does some stuff.
So he's super engineer.
So so you could headcanon it by saying like nobody was aware, not even Rom was Rom's self-confidence was so low that his self-confidence was so low that he didn't even consider that he could keep up with such a thing, and he didn't discover himself till later, or maybe they just later decided to make him smart. I don't know.
I don't know and can't quite recall exactly when all these characteristics were established, but my headcanon watching this time was that when Quark kind of agrees with Odo, he's doing it in the sense of like it's useful for him to have Odo think Rom is not
true.
Good with this stuff. So maybe that's too much credit there, but that for me that works.
And what last thing about that scene, Odo was a push cart. Like you got to be that's some complicated shit to mimic because you got little wheels that you got to make.
He's
bearings.
He's good at the machine stuff.
Like little bearings and wheels and things he's got.
Oh, yeah. I know. I thought the same thing.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, although to be fair, Quark did say he was suspicious because the one wheel was sticking.
Right.
Which is kind of funny if Odo's just like, "God, that fucking hurts."
Doggle.
Quark.
Right. Quark.
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 Dabble. One wheel's a little bit gooey.
So,
Dabble.
Quark.
Quark.
Quark. Quark.
Dan is only delaying the inevitable.
Dabble.
Quark.
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 The part Dabble. Of the show that everyone looks forward to.
Well, it's a part where everyone just talks over my sounds as I'm playing them. I'm like in the middle of playing sounds, and everyone's just keeps on talking.
Hey, fuck you, man.
I'm like in the very middle of it, and people just start talking. I'm obviously doing something here, but let's just start talking anyway. I'm very obviously in the middle of something, but let's all just start talking.
This is a better discussion for the live follow-up Thursday podcast where
we discuss the
previous week's podcast.
Let's wait for 3 seconds into while Dan's playing when he's obviously established that he's doing something and then just start talking. Let's do that. Because that's good idea. That way you can't hear what I'm saying and you can't hear what he's playing.
Hey, Jesse,
so that way you can't hear anything.
Jesse, now, tell me if I'm wrong here, Jesse. I sense a bit of sarcasm.
Anything else I can do for you?
On the part of our friend Dan.
There's a wee
Dan
bit.
Over here.
There's a wee bit of
sarcasm. All right. So, where the hell have I heard that before? Our weekly game, pretty straightforward. We play a clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe.
Close the reverse harbor.
Exactly. It's not going to be that clip, but we play a clip.
Others support strong courage.
And then the audience has until Friday to send in their guess what they think the clip is.
Yes, indeed.
What the character or characters is, which TV show or movie, where it's from, etc.
It's hard to call.
Dinner to bug.
Last week, we played the following clip.
Wait, Link!
And you might, as I play it, if you didn't listen last week, you might consider yourself, where the hell have I heard
away
that?
Away tunnel, back the garden.
Where the hell have I heard that before?
Chief O'Brien!
All right, here we go.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of being and immaculous. Short of ancestor, vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
Which, of course, is the song Trouble from The Music Man.
We'll close the reverse harbor.
It rhymes with T.
Right.
And
stands for P.
Stands for P, and that stands for pool, and yeah. you got trouble right here in...
River's fucking city.
On the moon.
Sabotage.
I love The Music Man. I wish the Star Trek would do The Music Man, but...
I know. It's always Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah, Gilbert and Sullivan's great. Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's always good.
It's great. But
Quark!
Yeah. Quark! Now, I wasn't sure what kind of response we'd get for that particular clip. I'm happy to report
because it's a tricky one.
It's a tricky one, but we have a well informed audience. I'm very proud of
victory
our
strike audience. Limits. We have a nice Frosted one. Wake.
But before we go to the audience guesses, I like to give an opportunity to Dan and Jesse.
Strike limits. Flame the dark true salt.
Do either of you...
Foolish assembled regal. Like, left. Become better control.
I'll be an ops. If you need me, use a string impact. Let's show it intense.
Dan, would you like to take a brief break from...
He's sound clipping over your talking.
So I got to remind myself, see, like, okay. Like, I'm a parent, and if you other parents out there
is
might
that
know,
a parent?
Jesse is familiar with this probably. Mm. That parents have this ability. There's an algorithm in your brain that maps onto your child's sounds and can just... In time, can just erase them. Just kind of, it's like a, you know, it's like one of those Bose things that like puts the white noise.
I think you just do that with everybody.
No, I do it with my children and with Dan.
I think
like,
you do
Dan,
it with
all
everybody.
All Dan's sound clips. So I apologize if those like I'm navigating my best as I can around Dan's aggressive sound clipping.
I think you do it around everybody.
But I just so you know.
I think that once you get in your own head and you start thinking about stuff, you kind of block everything else out. I think that's just a you thing.
I mean, it's possible, Dan, that it's just a me thing. I'll grant you that. Where were we? Where the hell have I heard that before? Yes, Dan or Jesse, do either of you want to proffer a guess as to where last week's clip was from?
You call this Coley and Stew?
What do you say, sir?
Quark, this Coley and Stew. Magnificent.
Dan's like, I'm just gonna keep playing my clips. They call them Danny Long clips.
Sabotage.
I can't answer because I've already I accidentally read a WhatsApp response.
Oh, okay.
Dealing with this. So
like I could tell that it was a certain character.
Yeah, I mean
that it was Una.
Yeah, I knew that.
Una from which show?
But typically from Strange New World.
All right.
I'm not joking, Lee.
This happens to be a different show, sort of. But I wasn't sure. I sort of cheated and I looked it up. I didn't actually know where it came
You're
from.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I knew that it was Una, but you know, I looked it up.
Like, you feel so guilty.
And it was actually something I didn't actually watch that one.
Oh, you should check it out.
Yeah, I know. I need to see.
It's good. All right. Well, we don't want to leave the audience on tenterhooks for those who aren't aware. We'll go through the guesses here. We had three, I'll just spoil it right here, three pretty correct guesses.
Think, Alice, this is important.
First, Megan from Facebook said, hi, guys, longtime listener, first time WTHHIHTB guesser here.
Hi.
I'm writing because I know this one. It's the Short Treks episode called Q&A with Spock and Una. Mm-hmm. It is really fun, and I assume may have sparked or encouraged the idea for SNW's Subspace Rhapsody. Thank you for the weekly silliness.
Correct guess, Mon.
Absolutely. So good guess,
Mon.
Then we move on to a message from Isaac. Isaac from all the way on the other side of the old planet. In Tasmania.
Australia.
In Australia, Tasmanian island off the coast of Australia.
The southern hemisphere.
They got them Tasmanian devils.
At the podium.
I don't think they got kangaroos there. I don't know. They might have a McDonald's. I'm not sure.
They got jam.
They do have jam. They love jam down there. Isaac says, hello, Dan, Pan, and Jam.
Hi.
I'd love a chance to
play. Now I know definitively who is who in this one.
Yes, I know. Sometimes it's hard to interpret.
I don't get it.
Isaac says, I'd love a chance to play. Try to guess this sound without any self-doubt or crippling anxiety.
this game like causes a lot of issues.
Oh, no, it's rough.
We're going to send him to a therapist for this game.
A.K.A. T-T-G-T-S-E-A-D-O-C-A. Today's sound was Sideshow Bob singing to Bart in Camp Fear. No. It's not, and it's not the and it's not the musical episode either. It's the Short Trek Q and A.
Yes,
but I'm probably wrong because you love it when I'm wrong. Your champion, standing. Hi, Grayson, Isaac. No, absolutely, you're 100% correct there, yep. Isaac. Q and A, and then finally, Amy, a stalwart of this game, wrote in and said the answer to this week's WTHH. IHTB is Short Trek number 5 Q&A, in which a smiling Ensign Spock beams aboard Enterprise and meets Una for the first time. Unaware how many questions one Vulcan can hold, she advises him to begin asking questions, and he does. She eventually regrets her suggestion when they become trapped in a turbo lift in Turbo Lift 6 together. Which is, by the way, it's interesting because it's not Turbo Lift 3.
And she's gotten everyone correct. So far,
absolutely,
with the details to back it up, she can give like all the references,
super
and, like,
details.
Yeah, this is what's happening in the scene. Well, because the episode,
Amy goes on to say, at 9:23 in this episode, Una begins singing, "I am the very model of a modern major general." In answer to Spock's question about what Una's freaky is,
oh shit,
he also asks if she likes eggplant. We never find out if she does, and I've always wondered if there was a double entendre hidden in that question. I love Short Treks. I wish there were more of them. Thank you,
but
Amy.
But what'd you say, Aubergine?
I love the Short Treks.
The way Link complete.
I won't say the quality varied. I would say, like, you know, different Short Treks are going to be more or less entertaining or interesting to different people. But for me. Yeah.
Wasn't the most controversial one was the H. John Benjamin one? That was, like, really controversial because people thought it was too goofy or something.
And that's probably my favorite one. The Trouble with
really,
Edward.
That's really good.
Yeah, Jesse and I discussed The Trouble in Edward many eons ago.
Was I gone? I was on a mission.
Special mission.
The thing about the Short Treks was it was really,
sorry about that.
I know they use it as an advertising opportunity. It was kind of like a modern version of the old webisodes where you've got the sets already, you've got the actors, have them do a little extra stuff.
How is that possible?
But it was really such a wonderful opportunity to do these little off the wall things.
Opportunity duties.
In all said, sorts of different. They did serious ones. They did funny ones. They did whimsical. You know,
there was Harvey Mudd.
He said opportunity to duty. Yeah. Opportunity to duties. Yes. I can't even say that. Opportunity to duties.
It was tribbles. Yeah.
Opportunity to duties. Opportunity to duties.
Opportunity to duties.
Opportunity to
duties. I am the very model of a modern major general. I have information, animal, vegetable, and mineral.
Opportunity to duties.
That's trouble.
Opportunity to duties.
Right here in River City.
Right here. In River City. Seriously, folks.
Command unclear. Please repeat.
Not all musicals are great, but the Music Man's pretty rad.
Yeah. That Pirates of Penzance has some moments.
The one with the guy from Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, right, yeah. You
know, Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline.
The movie one?
The movie one with Kevin Kline.
Where are the diamonds?
From the 80s?
Yeah, the movie one with Kevin Kline. The movie Pirates of Penzance with Kevin Kline
remember
is
that?
Fantastic.
Remember the Fish Called Wanda? He goes, where are the diamonds?
Yes.
Where are the diamonds?
Where are the diamonds? And then he eats the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fish Called Wanda. Yeah, Fish Called Wanda's a good flick. All right, so there's two recommendations. There's Pirates of Penzance, 1980.
I think you'll find that more charming.
Starring Kevin Kline. There is A Fish Called Wanda, and our standing recommendations of Pulp Fiction, Spaceballs, and Fried Green Tomatoes.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Now,
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Next up, I do have to play the sound for next week.
So, I'll get right on it.
All of you, you have until Friday, this Friday. So you, the first opportunity to listen to this podcast is on Monday. That's when we release the podcast. You have until Friday evening to send us your guests. Friday evening, GMT minus 4 or 5, depending on the time of year.
It's just a precaution, nothing more.
Just a crazy idea. You can write
just a crazy idea.
You can write your guesses into us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Or on social media at It's Got Star Trek. So let me play the clip.
Bilana's on it.
I'll play it once. I'll babble a little bit, and then I'll
Bilana's on it.
Play it again, and then we'll get back to our discussion. So here you go.
But I mean, were any Orions even doing science stuff back then?
They weren't all pirates, you know. Somebody had to make the starships.
Others support strong courage.
So gabble is just another way of saying babble.
Gabble. Or gibberish.
Maybe it was a typo.
It doesn't mean the same thing as gerbil, though. That's a different thing entirely.
Maybe it was a typo, and they meant to say babble.
I don't know, because when you type in gabble, I didn't look if it's a real word, but if you type it into Google, it doesn't show it as a misspelling. It does not have a little red underline.
Could you rename this episode to Gabble instead of Babble?
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be confused with Journey to Babel or Babel 1 or Babylon 5.
Are they gabble? They're babbling because the episode's called Babble. Is that why they're babbling?
If I don't know that
Babel has to do with like a bunch of languages.
Like Babel is usually talking about nonsense.
It's the Tower of Babel, right?
Yes, there's that Tower of Babel.
Goes out into the sky.
Yeah.
It's also in Final Fantasy, the first one.
Yeah. Yes. Babel.
The sky.
Okay. Let me play the clip one more time.
But it's funny to think of Babel as in babbling because that's what they were doing in the episode. You see the connection I made?
Like a babbling book.
You see what the connection I made? Because that's not how it's spelled.
Where was it in Final Fantasy?
It's not because the name of the episode is spelled not like babble, like they're babbling.
It's spelled like the biblical babble.
Yeah, but what's funny is you can make the connection to them babbling. Mm-hmm. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? That's a joke.
What's the Final Fantasy connection?
Yeah,
there's a place in Final Fantasy called the Tower of Babel.
Which
that you
Final
go
Fantasy?
The first one.
Oh,
like the first all the way back. NES one.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you see the joke I made? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's a great joke, Dan.
Isn't that funny?
It's an excellent joke.
Yeah. You're the funniest person I know.
You go into the Babel Tower and you fight some enemies and it's really tall.
Yes. In Final Fantasy.
Yes.
One. Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Round the turbulent quick.
Because it's we have to follow the format, I will play the clip one more time and then we'll conclude our discussion of this television show. Here you go.
But I mean, were any Orions even doing science stuff back then?
They weren't all pirates, you know. Somebody had to make the starships.
I love that.
Well,
so get your guesses in.
Certainly, obviously, which
to us ASAP. And
1, 2, 3.
We'll enjoy talking about that.
5, 6,
oh, and by
seven,
the way,
eight.
A reminder to folks, I love picking these clips, but if you have a suggestion for a fun clip that you would like us to play, either send us the clip or send us the time codes. You know,
send us the list.
Send me the time codes from the episode. I can clip it out myself. It would be fun to have some of you all suggest clips that you think would maybe help need like a real good Star Trek fan to guess.
You know, that's the point here.
You gotta
be sit here gloating at my misfortune.
You gotta be a good fan. That's all. We admit. I know this is episode 334 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we figured out not too long into doing the podcast that we may have made a foundational error in having our structure be that we bounce around to random episodes, because what that does is it narrows our audience to people who have seen all Star Trek. Now,
do I detect a note of panic in your voice?
That may limit our audience and potential for monetization, but what it does do is it means we've got a real fucking awesome audience.
Yes.
Nerd motherfuckers who know all this shit. So I love getting these correct answers, multiple correct answers, each and every week. So
think, Alice. This is important.
All right. So we got a few minutes left in the show.
Rules of Dabo. Is Dabo really just basically roulette?
They never explain it.
Because Quark is there playing Dabo by himself. Yeah. And why playing roulette by yourself without
There's not even a Dabo girl.
Like, if you're not gambling and you're by yourself, I see no reason you would play roulette. So Dabo must have some kind of funness to it other than that.
Well, I mean, it's fun to watch it go around and go click, 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 click.
He must
maybe
be really bummed.
It's in space, so there's like a...
Space
Dabo.
Maybe, so maybe he's just doing it, you're saying, because he's like really bummed out or something.
Bored.
So, yeah, And then Odo was like almost embarrassed that he didn't know the rules. Yeah. It's almost like he'd never... He's like, it's almost like he said, like, I've never kissed anyone.
There are a lot of examples in this specific episode, again, the fifth episode of the entire show, that they do such a great job of laying the foundation for the relationship between Quark and Odo. Dan already very nicely
Quark
pointed out this little cat and mouse thing and the shifting of power between Odo gloating with Quark at first and then kind of the reversal of fortunes at the end. With this Odo being in in this moment being undercut and embarrassed by the fact that he doesn't know Dabo, because you know he could have you can look it up in the fucking computer or
but
something.
Like, who cares if you don't know Dabo?
Well, I think it's for him. He doesn't.
I don't think you ever have to know
what we learn about.
Like I said,
Odo,
he's embarrassed as if he like admitted he never kissed anyone before.
Yes, and he hasn't.
Well, yeah, no, he has. But I'm just using that as an example. Though I'm not.
No, I think it's a really important observation you make. The comparison is a useful one because what we learn with Odo, and this is one step in that process, is he pretends like he's all like, fuck all these people. These people are all a bunch of shitballs.
But he wants to belong.
But he wants to belong, and he feels bad. And I think this is an example similar to not having kissed somebody, not having participated in gambling, you know, or going on a holosuite. These are things, you know, we get to see him do more of as the show progresses. But right
here. No wonder you always look so bored.
Right here at the beginning, they've already got the little.
He never smokes space weed.
Man, you know, snake. What was it in Picard?
Snake weed.
Snake leaf.
Snake grass.
Snake leaf. Come on.
Snake leaf, yes.
They wanted something. They needed, because they knew if they made it weed, people would be like, no, weed is awesome. Like, because they were trying to make it seem like it was
Weed's
bad
good.
That Rafi was smoking snake leaf. So they had to come up with snake leaf. So I guess snake leaf's
why didn't they just use crack?
You know, that's
they could have just used crack.
Yeah. Maybe crack is awesome in the future.
Maybe.
Like they make a version of crack that
crack is
it's not whack. And it's like not whack, right. Quack. Crack.
Not whack, quack.
It's not whack, ma.
So you have synthahol and you have not whack, crack.
A duck.
It was like one of the technological breakthroughs in the 22nd century.
Smoke crack, ma.
Not whack, crack. It gets all the good stuff of crack and it has none of the whack stuff. You're not going to end up dead in a bathtub.
Major Lark's true pepper.
What about when Bashir is like studying the virus, right? And then Sisko is you know going, he's like, I'm gonna go see if I can figure out where it's coming from. I'll talk to people, whatever. Sisko goes and he goes, keep searching, Doctor. I hope Major Kira can find whoever's responsible for creating this virus. Bashir says, I'd like to meet that person myself. This virus is a work of genius. And then Sisko says, I'll try to arrange it for you. I can't tell if he was being serious or slightly annoyed, sarcastic.
He was annoyed. I think he was meant to be like, he was like, what the fuck?
Because that's classic.
Weasel.
Yeah, that's classic, like, tactless Bashir behavior where he's like, oh, imagine the scientific implications. Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone around them is like dying and shit.
This is still in the part of the show where Bashir is largely aggravating people. I think they do like him also, but he's annoying.
Yeah.
He's young and brash and arrogant in one of the more annoying ways people can be arrogant is when they just don't even understand they're being arrogant, right? Like when there's somebody who's arrogant and they're kind of a piece of shit, I'm not saying that's good, but like sometimes you're like, well, you know, at least they know what they're doing. They're just like kind of an asshole. When somebody like doesn't even realize they're just like... just totally being annoying. I say that because I think that's probably me in most situations.
No.
That's self-deprecating humor, which endears us to the audience.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's a podcaster strategy. I looked it up in the podcasting weekly newsletter. That
nobody likes me.
Yeah, nobody likes Jesse.
I'm a stupid jerk.
Yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
This guy, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
I know this for a fact.
Verbal self-flagellation. Once
he couldn't fix a straw if it was bent.
Yeah. It's an odd thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
This is outrageous.
You couldn't unbend a sucking tube.
Quark. This Colian stew. Magnificent.
I love it. He's like, you know, he's all about it.
Magnificent Colian
stew. He's like, this is rad.
You call this Colian stew?
You call this Colian stew?
I like his voice. He's like, Quark, you call this Colian stew?
Right.
Quark, you call this
Guardian Stew!
Who is that actor? I feel like I must have seen him before. His name is Aesoth, I think.
Like, how hard is it to get the replicator?
Bozinga.
Quark!
Quark!
This Colian Stew! You call this Colian Stew?
All right. Anything else? anything else you'd like to contribute? He was a writer for the movie Stan Helsing.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that movie.
I can take a guess.
I can take a guess that it's a everyday man who gets caught up in. He's got to fight vampires because it turns out his great uncle is Van Helsing, and he's just like a
he's like a schmuck accountant.
His wife's cheating on him.
He's a schmuck.
His son does not respect him.
Wait, let me. I think it turns out
he's got a giant fucking dick.
I think you're probably spot on about most of that.
He uses that to seduce the vampires.
I think most
of
that.
All the vampires are women.
Vampires.
They got big old boobies.
Just like Captain Sisko.
Okay,
says. It's going from most of that is correct to some of that is correct.
Yeah. Vampire
you're getting farther
boobies.
Away. So how's this?
How's this? Okay,
I'm going to play it back to back. Tell me how spot on this is.
Okay.
You call this curly and steer? And then here it is.
You call this Colian Stew?
You call this Colian Stew?
I got my eyes closed. I can't tell the difference. Which
you
one is
you call this Colian Stew?
That's you, Dan, right? That's you,
I don't
Dan?
Know you.
You call this Colian Stew?
You call this Colian Stew?
I don't know you.
I think, Dan, you should lobby to play this character in the video game.
Right.
In the new open world Deep Space Nine video game they're going to make.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of walk around the promenade.
Yeah. I would play a shit out of the game. Oh, man. A VR DS9.
I'm sure somebody made it and then Paramount sued them and shut it down.
Yeah.
Paramount minus.
What is going on here?
All right. Any final thoughts about this episode?
What about, or Bozanga?
Yeah. It's nothing super exciting, but it's a fun episode. You know, it's early days, but I thought good characterization.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Everybody looked like younger than me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the whole episode. The last like 10 minutes was kind of like, okay, we're just kind of getting to the end here. You kind of know what's going to happen. And it's just kind of like, there's not a,
like I said, all that the ship
I
stuff
think,
is a little. It's a little.
I
extra.
Think maybe they added that ship stuff in because like the whole Kira getting the guy like was weird.
She was too effective.
They
were like, oh no, we filmed this Kira did it too quickly.
I think what happened is that like they. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know for sure, but like it seems like the whole Kira finding this guy at the end. It's like kind of she was following the steps and she was like wasn't having any problem, and you knew she was gonna. They were gonna get it by the end. There was really not much tension going on with the Kira finding this dude thing because you knew it was gonna. You knew it was gonna work out in the end. So they kind of added the ship thing in there at the end to add some tension and just try to make it more exciting, to make it more unpredictable somehow. And the last 10 minutes was kind of just like okay, just wait until it's over. But
to the last 10 minutes of this podcast.
Not that it was bad. Not that I didn't enjoy it. Exactly. I was just saying. I think the weakest part was probably just like the last 10 minutes. Yeah. Overall, I think the episode was good though.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, man.
And you know, season one of Deep Space Nine, you know, often gets a bad rap, as do a lot of the first seasons of Star Trek.
I don't know. First season of Deep Space Nine is pretty solid.
I think so. I think they're definitely like figuring stuff out because they're trying new things. They're not 100% sure what they're gonna do.
It has a nice.
I like when I like when Sisko shaves his head.
Yeah, that comes later.
I know.
That is the best.
I like how everybody was like seemed just like a lot younger than me. Now. Because it was like 30 years ago.
I like how, like, when Kira.
I like this section where this is the I like section.
I like the part.
Like, I like the part.
You know
I
like what, you I know like what the I like?
I like when Jake was so scared.
And he was sad.
He was really scared and upset. I like that.
When Dax and Kira were walking down the promenade and all the dudes were like staring at him, like being like, hey,
right.
Hey.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then Kira couldn't have had a meaner mug on her face. Like, I would not dare.
She's all like hunched over.
I would not dare get like outwardly flirty with somebody who's like looking like that because I'm afraid they'd fucking kick my ass, you know? Because
that's when Dax is like, oh, yeah, I forgot what it's like to be
a
female.
Yeah, but Kira just had this like stern look on her face. And Quark.
Like, I know. What it's like to be a female. And, fuck you.
And even Quark was like, Quark had a full house of business. He's making money. But when Kira and Dax agreed to come in and have that pudding, he was like, yes.
Yeah,
like
he was
all pudding.
It was like, come on, like really, are you that hyped to get Dax in there?
He's got a wham in it, belly.
He's got a wham.
All right,
Nakajino.
I mean, really, did he think he was going to hook up with her? Like, why was he so excited?
Well, you know, he's Quark.
He's a wild boy.
A little Quark. Next week.
You'll be dead in 12 hours.
Next week, we're going to keep talking about season one Star Trek this time.
Ah!
Oh, what? Do you have a duty or no duty?
Major Kira, get a hold of the chief's personal duty log. I want to know where he's been and what he's done for the past 52 hours. Personal duty log. Personal duty log. Okay. Personal duty log.
Now, here's the thing.
No duty.
Now, here's the thing.
Like, personal duty log.
Like Jesse is saying it's a no duty. I'd like to agree with Jesse. I know where Jesse's coming from. The problem is that because it's he's not just saying duty. He's saying duty log.
Yeah.
Personal duty log.
And, personal duty log.
Yeah, personal duty log. And the thing is, it's very difficult for me not to think of, and apologies, but it's true. I think of poop when he says that.
A stool.
So you can make an argument for a no duty, but I'm gonna be different than Jesse this week. I'm going to say duty. What do you say, Dan?
Personal duty log.
I disagree. I don't think there's any universe that you can think that is a no duty. That's a duty.
So you vehemently disagree with Jesse.
Yeah, it's a
and
duty.
You mildly disagree with me, but we agree nevertheless. Yes. Well, we make the same decision, but for slightly different reasons.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay, next one.
All right.
Dax, you will temporarily assume Mr. O'Brien's duties. Assume Mr. O'Brien's duties. Assume Mr. O'Brien's duties.
I mean, that's a very clear no duty.
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't say it's very clear, but I do agree that it's no duty.
Okay.
It's clear.
I just have to be a little contrary.
No problem.
According to O'Brien's duty log, the last thing he did before becoming a phasic was fix the command level replicators. Duty log? Duty log?
Wait.
Duty log? Duty log? Duty log?
That's really close, actually.
It's close. It's a no duty for me, though. It's a no duty.
What do you say, Jesse? Yeah, no duty. Yeah no duty. What do you mean, yeah, no duty?
He's agreeing with me.
It's either duty or no duty.
I say no
duty. No duty.
Duty log? Duty log? Duty log?
I still think it's a duty.
I hear some T's in
there. I see you're mostly D, though.
All right. T's and D's.
I love the D.
T's and D's. Depends.
Duty log?
On how your ears are shaped, maybe. Next week.
Chief O'Brien.
Season one of Star Trek Voyager. We're gonna talk about Eye of the Needle.
Oh my God!
Eye of the Needle. Dan's algorithm selected that for us from season one of Star Trek Voyager. So watch that, and then come back and listen to our podcast when we talk about it. And send us in by Friday. Send us in your questions, comments, guesses.
Where the hell have I heard that before?
Please,
this is important.
Send a review, get a haiku.
Yeah, if you write a review, Dan will write you a haiku. Please subscribe to us on YouTube if you wouldn't mind. You know, I had to listen to us on YouTube. Just subscribe to us. It's helpful for
Rom's an idiot.
Variety of reasons. And we're on all the social media at It's Got Star Trek. So with that, hope you have a good one. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
O'Brien! Another satisfied customer.
Food. Double. Drinks. Money. And mine. Give!
Well, Quark, I see even you couldn't weasel your way clear of this one.
You underestimate the Ferengi immune system, Commander. I'm merely here visiting my less fortunate customers to make sure they're not faking the illness to avoid paying their bills.
No one could be that devious.
I am. You go owe me!